When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. It's Thursday the 9th of March. You're watching Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley-Brewer, on Talk. Coming up, Rishi Sunak faces a clash with the EU over his migration bill. What a surprise. As the government plans to speed up deportations by dragging their heels in court. Meanwhile, the BBC is under pressure to sack Gary Lineker after he doubled down on his comments comparing the government's migrant policy to Nazi Germany, saying he will continue to speak up for those poor souls that have no voice. And Matt Hancock was censored by the Cabinet Office over his concerns that the COVID-19 pandemic began with a lab leak in Wuhan, the latest lockdown files reveal. 6:33 is the time. This is Talk Breakfast. Thank you very much indeed for your company. Always appreciate you joining me. Lots, as always, to talk about at home and abroad. We will be talking a little bit about the royals and also it's just really, really got my goat this morning, which is that weight loss jab on the NHS. I mean, if we're not saving everyone from cancer and we can't treat enough people in A&E for heart disease, maybe paying money for jabs to get people to eat a little bit less is perhaps not a top priority. Call me old-fashioned. Anyway, joining me to talk about all the big stories this morning is Tom Slater, editor at Spiked Online. Good morning to you.
Morning, Julia.
Lovely to have you join us. Let's go back to the migrant bill. It is many different repercussions of this, mm-hmm. including Gary Lineker's future at the BBC. Two stories specific over the migrant boat bill. One is that ministers are going to try and drag their heels in a bid to get deportations going forward. So obviously this bill has got to go through the illegal migration bill, as it's called. It's got to go through the House of Commons. That won't be a problem. It's got to go through the Lords, where, of course, the Tories don't have a majority. Mm-hmm. A lot of Lib Dems who'll be very opposed to this and want to virtue signal. And then, of course, it's going to face clash after clash in the courts in the UK. And then, let's face it, it'll end up in Strasbourg. But the idea is that, well, they're just going to kind of just a strategy of delay and prevarication. And instead of to avoid the nuclear option of pulling out the court altogether, the European Court of Human Rights, they are just going to sort of kind of ignore the mm-hmm. court's ruling, given that most countries, what is it, 40% of leading judgments relating to EU states from the past 10 years have not been implemented. You know, Italy and France don't implement any of these things, so why should we? Is that a good tactic?
Well, it's interesting. It's almost like the mirror image of the tactics that is sometimes used against existing kind of immigration law in the UK when people are trying to fight for reprieves of people who are going to be deported and so on. I think what's interesting is that this bill was just really brought to the fore that question of who sets immigration policy because of the ECHR, because of these international agreements, yeah. And almost like above or at least undergirding a lot of the discussion about whether or not this is a good idea, whether it's a liberal or authoritarian, whether it's something which we should be doing, whether
Nazi.
It's going to work.
On
Gary Lineker's perspective, that's also where he wants to take it. But there's also this question of, like, is the government even entitled to set a policy? And that's going to be a really fascinating thing to watch, because I think a lot of people would expect that when a parliament legislates for something, agree or disagree with it, that should stand. And yet, as we know, that's not necessarily always
the case. And that is the case. Again, it seems to me to be very, very clear. If the law doesn't allow you to do it and you change the law and the law still doesn't allow you to do it, then you don't have a government that's actually in power. I mean, they're just in office. They can't do... If a government, especially after, you know, taking back control and delivering Brexit, if a government can't decide who can and can't enter this country and who can stay in this country, I really don't know what the point of a government is. The thing I also find absolutely extraordinary is that this government can, for an emergency, make a decision about whether you or I, as law-abiding citizens, can go in and out of our own country. £5,000 fine to even travelling to an airport with the intention to travel, unable to get back into the country without showing COVID vaccine proof, paying, you know, people paying, you know, thousands of pounds to be in quarantine hotels, basically imprisoned for 2 weeks, utterly against all existing pandemic planning, by the way, because it serves no purpose and did serve no purpose. Or they can do all those controls on completely law-abiding people trying to go about their daily business or visit family or do business. But if illegal migrant, someone just paying a people trafficker on a Calais beach £5,000 and getting in a rickety boat and arriving on our shores with no passport, no proof of who they are. Oh, no, now we're all worried about their rights. There's an awful lot of people, especially on the Labour benches, I saw yesterday at PMQs, really concerned about human rights. They were pretty damn quiet over the last few years about my rights and my audience's rights.
And I think that's going to stick in a lot of people's craw, as you say. And the other thing is that there's all this pearl-clutching about the European Court of Human Rights and so on. Not only were these, was the Human Rights Act, was the general sort of human rights infrastructure woefully incapable of protecting anyone against the incursions of the state during lockdown. Also, in terms of actually pushing back against some genuinely brutal authoritarian migration policies, it's been next to useless. I mean, if you think about some of the things that the EU has implemented in terms of trying to, you know, defend its own external border, really horrible things, paying North African warlords effectively to kind of police their own border, brutal stuff that, you know, would make Suella Braverman blush. These international agreements have come to naught, really. Yeah. So again, this idea that if you get out of this structure, that everything's going to go to hell in a handcart, you're in 1930s Germany, as Gary Lineker would put it, is ridiculous. Not least, we've had a bit of an experience of that ourselves over the past couple of years.
Yeah, we certainly have, haven't we? Let's also talk about, as I say, this clash that Rishi Sunak facing, a fresh clash with the European Union. There's been a warning from a senior commissioner that his new migration bill would be in breach of human rights. So it's like, I mean, that's the front of the Guardian today. We know that. That's kind of the point. I mean, the Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, basically makes that point on the front page of the bill. That's kind of a bit of a giveaway. But this is the thing. Again, these international laws, they were brought in for a particular reason, a particular time. There is no doubt at all a lot of these people are not legitimate, you know, asylum seekers. Interesting talking to someone who used to be, you know, the chief immigration officer. And I said, well, you know, don't most of these people, even the, you know, the people who come across the migrant boats, don't they actually eventually get given asylum? So actually they're legitimate. He said, no, actually, it's only about 8%. The rest of them, because they haven't got documentation, they're basically given sort of leave to remain. But it's not, they're not actually, you know, accepted as legitimate asylum seekers, and that's one of the, sort of the lies that's put out there. In terms of how this affects who does our the punditry during World Cups on the BBC, Gary Lineker's future. Front of the Mail today: is Lineker about to get boot from BBC? They say his future at the BBC is hanging in the balance last night. He doesn't seem to think it is. We were told that yesterday there would be frank conversations with him by senior figures at the BBC. They hadn't actually got around to speaking to Gary Lineker, who apparently was not answering his phone yesterday after those tweets he posted, basically comparing the government's migrant policy to 1930s Germany. Good heavens, this is beyond awful, he tweeted. And then in a response to someone who questioned whether he should be passing commentary on political issues, given his job at the BBC, saying he was out of order, he accused the Home Secretary of promoting an immeasurably cruel policy directed at the most vulnerable people in language that is not dissimilar to that used by Germany in the 1930s. Well, I mean, I don't see what's immeasurably cruel about it. No one's saying we're going to send you back to Iran or Syria. They're not the most vulnerable people. The idea that a bunch of men in their 20s and 30s are the most vulnerable people is laughable. I don't know where, what he was listening to, what language. We need to stop the boats. I don't see why that is. Well, that's got anything to do with the Nazis. And yes, he didn't use the N-word. But if you're talking about Germany in the 30s, I don't know what else you're talking about. Was there a strong Liberal Democrat party that made pronouncements in the 30s in Germany? I don't think so.
Was he talking about kind of late stage Weimar Germany? Probably not. I mean, this is quite obvious what he was saying there. And I think that people on all sides of politics, on all sides of the immigration debate, on all sides of any debate, need to stop comparing their opponents to Nazis.
Just stop it.
I don't like what happens in migration. You know, again, in terms of this particular bill, there are things that I think you could very legitimately criticise it for, 100%. But I don't, again, just bringing the Nazis up, God wins law at all times, is terrible. This happens in terms of even the lockdown debate as well. There are some people who constantly want to refer to this as an example of this was effectively our taste of Nazism and so on. Again, you can have this discussion without bringing up these examples. Not only is it demonising your opponent, you're also trivialising a unique crime in history,
industrial murder of an entire people.
Let's not bring that up. And so, aside from, you know, Gary Lineker, who's an absurd figure in so many respects, people have got very passionate feelings about him one way or the other. But we should also recognise that, quite aside from the question of what should happen now in terms of his position at the BBC, those comments were really unpleasant.
They were really unpleasant. Put it this way, you know, if I'd made similar style comments, if I worked for the BBC, I'd definitely be out of a job. And that's the thing. And quite a few BBC people are, and I've spoken to people in the past, and other people have actually tweeted in the past saying, look, you know, we're all expected to abide by this. It's not just, you know, the Laura Kunzbergs and the Nick Robinsons who are expected to not make party political commentary and like that. They are expected to remain studiously neutral. If they're, you know, Fiona Bruce, you know, reading the news. Whatever you do, if you're high profile, particularly if you work for the BBC, you sign a contract that requires you to abide by their, impartiality guidelines. That is due impartiality. That's it. That's what they're supposed to abide by. So not only does Gary Lineker have a contract with the BBC, it doesn't matter, he's not staff. It doesn't matter. You're on the telly representing the BBC, and on your Twitter feed, you are still, nevertheless, you know, part of seen as Gary Lineker from the BBC. That's the context. But also, you know, the BBC then has a contract with us. We are taxpayers. If you've bought a license fee, it's because it's a tax. You can call it a license fee, but it's a tax. If you own a television, you are required by law, punishment with a fine or imprisonment if you don't pay that fine, which is not there if it's like, you know, if I don't pay my Netflix, I just don't get Netflix. Or if I got it dodgily, I could be prosecuted in the civil courts, but I couldn't be imprisoned. Now, that's different. And that's why this is a tax. And we are forced to pay that. And we're forced to pay Gary Lineker's salary. And the deal for that is you don't get to talk at us about your politics. That's the deal. He can give his political views or he can work for the BBC. He can't do both. He's got to choose. It's not censorship. This is a simple contractual arrangement, isn't it?
Well, I think it would be less irritating to many people if there was a sense in which people were cut as much slack with different politics, shall we say. He's a sports broadcaster. This is not something he's holding forth on Match of the Day, although that does creep in from time to time, which is a bit more concerning. But at the same time, we all know that certainly if you're lower down the ranks at the BBC, you're not going to get this kind of privilege, regardless of your politics. Yeah. And then also, if there happened to be a kind of parallel Gary Lineker, a kind of Brexiteer Gary Lineker, a pro-Tory Gary Lineker,
never have been.
It's
hired.
Not going to be the same example. I don't want to see him cancelled. I don't want to see him sacked. I think the reason people are so angry is that there's quite clearly a double standard here, and that's something that people aren't prepared to.
Do you think he'll end up losing his job?
Well, he's calling their bluff. It'd be fascinating to see what happens. I mean, in a way, he can't lose because there's people like him are never tired of telling all of us he could probably make even better money.
I would like him to say at the BBC, I really enjoy his football punditry. I actively do enjoy that. If I'm watching a big match, I would rather have him doing it than the guys at ITV, because you can always listen on TalkSport. A small point worth making. I just think you just need to know what the terms of your contract are, and I don't think he alone at the BBC should be above those rules that everyone else has to
abide
by.
He's a voice for the voiceless. So.
Voice for the voiceless, those poor people that no one speaks up for every day, Channel Migrants. We'll look at the front pages up next. We'll also talk about that 12 million people possibly getting a new weight loss jab on the NHS. But is there any other way they could lose weight? Do let me know. This is Talk Breakfast.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.